If you have your Bibles with you, it's Psalm 121. If you can turn there, please, it'd be great. Just, I don't know if you have the four cups slide there. There's no one there. It's gone crying off at Lana. you know, Pastor Noel's been sharing over the last few weeks about the four cups, and kind of asked me to come and share this week. And the cup I want to share on is the cup of salvation, which is, you know, something that we have to try and grab hold of and try and understand in our own lives. Because salvation, you can say salvation in a very broad term, but salvation is a very personal thing. And it has many avenues into our heart about salvation. We're saved not just from sin, but we're saved from a lot of things. And salvation can take its place in a lot of different areas and a lot of different ways. And so, you know, we can be saved through, you know, in our past, with things that happened to us in the past. We can be saved in our present, and we can be saved in our future. And so the cup of salvation is something that I want to really speak about this morning, but it's something that's been on my heart. It's Psalm 121. And it talks about, you know, where does my salvation come from? You know, it talks about, you know, God being faithful, as Sharon was saying there in Alana's life. It talks about God being there for us in our past and in our present and also in our future. And I think it's an amazing thing. And if you want to read with me, it goes like this. It says, I lift up my eyes to hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Isn't that an amazing promise that God has for us? And that's true. That's something that you hold on to. That's something that you grab onto and you say yes to that, Lord. Especially when you feel that you're slipping away at times, or that things aren't kind of, God isn't very much present in your life at the moment, or things are really tough and things are kind of, you know, God, the heavens seem like brass and we don't feel like we're getting a breakthrough. But the promise is that God is always there with us. That God is always, he will never let our foot slip. He will never stop pursuing us, and he will never stop caring for us. And so there's a promise that we have there, and our salvation is in the midst of all that. Our salvation is in that promise that God will never leave us and he will never forsake us, even when we forsake him. You see, even when we forsake him, God won't forsake us. Even when we're not focused on him, he's always focused on us. Even when we feel he's a million miles away, he's right beside us. Even when things are going pear-shaped and life is very difficult, he is the ever-present help. And that's the promise we hang on to this morning and forevermore. It says, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? And you see, in the time that David was writing this, these Psalms, it talks about a kind of a backsliding in Israel, or the tendency to backslide. And backsliding, the word backsliding means to fall back away from your original belief. To slide back away from what you once held onto, or to let go of something. So there was a backsliding in Israel, and the people of Israel were coming away from the temple, coming away from Jerusalem up into the hills. And there they were secretly worshipping the gods of the hills. And they were having their secret tabernacles, their secret altars, their secret little groups that they had together. And they went and they worshipped other gods outside the God of Israel. And it says, David looks at that and he goes, will I follow them? He says, will I look to the hills? In other words, will I go to the hills? Will I follow them? And it's like that in the world, guys. It's like that the world has, it's trying to attract us back in, isn't it? Everywhere you go, especially as a Christian, and especially nowadays, and even in my own life, we always have these struggles where the world is trying to suck us back into what it has to offer. almost like bringing us back to the hills, bringing us up to the secret places of worship where we start to seek another answer and seek another way out and seek another truth and another hope. And that's what was happening here, you see. They were going up to the hills. And David says, will I go up there as well? Will I start looking to the hills? But David says no, because he remembered God. He says, no, I know where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And you see, he had a breakthrough. He had a revelation that my answer isn't up in the hills. My answer is not in the world. The world has nothing to offer me. The world can't fulfill any need in my life that only God can. And there was a breakthrough there, you see, in David's heart, where he said, no, I remember God. And I will go to God, the maker of heaven and earth. In other words, that there's nothing else that can satisfy me other than God. There's nothing else that can touch me the way God can touch me. There's nothing else that can heal me the way God heals me. There's nothing else that can give me joy the way God gives me joy. There's nothing else that can give me peace of mind and contentment the way God does. Why? Because he's the maker of heaven and earth. Where else will I go? Who else will I turn to? Everywhere, any place that I go to, whether it's up in the hills or not, will always be lacking when it comes to God. It will always be lacking when it comes to God. There's nothing that can touch my heart like God does, even when I go astray. And you know, this message has been speaking to me over the last while, because over the last year, if I give a personal testimony, my life has been turned upside down in certain ways. God has been doing things in my life, been pulling me apart. And in some instances, just leaving me there at times. I know he never leaves me or forsakes me, but he's doing a work in me which is very, very difficult. And my goodness, I'm tempted to go to the hills. I'm tempted to go up and just have the easy way out. Just to go and see what the world has to offer, because this God thing is tough. Because when God gets a hold of you, when he's healing you, it's tough. It's quite difficult at times. And over the last year, it's been an absolute roller coaster for me. Flying high and then bump on the ground. But when I look to the hills and I say, Lord, there's nothing there for me anymore. There's nothing that it has to offer me. I've been there. I've tasted it. I've tried it. And it's always like it always is lacking. Amen. What we have to hang on to when there's a turning and there's a saying, I'm not going to the hills, I'm going to the Lord, we have to remember the promises that God gives us. We have to remember that God is bringing us into a relationship that the hills can't bring. You see, they were going to these temples, and they were going to these offering places where they would have to sacrifice blood offerings. And in some cases, there would be children being sacrificed. And in some cases, there would be kind of a sexual thing, and there's going to be the sexual perversion. And it was all about the flesh. It was all about gratifying the flesh. And all to try and eke out of this kind of belief in the hills that it's going to meet a certain need in my life. So in other words, they would go and say they were looking for a crop. Say it was the harvest time. And so instead of going to God, instead of going to the temple in Jerusalem, they were going the easy way out. And it was as serious as this. They were going to offer their children for a harvest, because it seemed the easiest way. Isn't that crazy? That people that had a revelation of God, and God says, follow me and you will be blessed, were saying, it's too hard to follow God, and God is too distant. The easy way out is to let's sacrifice a child and we'll have a harvest. And we see that in the world today, don't we? Don't we? We see that. There's nothing is new, the Bible says, under the sun. And people will go for the easy way out all the time, to the point where they will sacrifice themselves, and to the point where they will lose their own life. and lose other lives around them, and they will do everything they can to satisfy this, to have the quick way out, the easy way out. It seems to be an easy solution. But the reality is, it has nothing to, there's no promise in it. And this is what struck me in Psalm 121 about the promises. Because God makes a promise. And that's what I stand on. I don't stand on myself. And this was breakthrough for me. Because sometimes you're standing there and you're going, I don't know what to do here. This is really difficult. I'm on my back here. I don't know what to do. Boom, boom, boom. And you start to move in your own understanding of things. And you start to move in your own flesh on things. But the reality is that God drew me back. He says, hold on, Eddie. I've promised you something. That's what you stand on. And you leave it to me. And I went, what? That's too simple. I have to work on this. I have to slave. I have to earn God's favor. I have to kind of get on my knees for 20 hours a week. I have to kind of do this and do that and get this and get that. And then I ask God, can you hear me now? But God says, no, you're getting it wrong. I have made a promise to you. Now hold me to that promise. Whoa. Hold me to that promise. Get out of the way. Sit down. Wait. And watch, because he says, he who watches over me will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will never slumber nor sleep. So God's promise to me is that he will never stop looking after me. And this is the cup of salvation. That my God has promised me he will never stop looking after me. So on our human level, we'll twist that, won't we? So when I'm doing good, God watches over me. Is that what he said there? When I'm really holy and have the holiest month of the year, it's a good time now to ask God for something because I feel really holy. And I've been praying very regularly and I've been giving my tithes and I've been giving this, and there's nothing wrong with all that. But you can't manipulate God with that. Because it's counterproductive, because you're going against his promises. He says, it's up to him. He says, I will never leave you. I will always watch over you. If he had conditions on it, he would have put them there. And that's what I hope people start taking out this morning about the cup of salvation. Because my God promises me, even when I'm not doing well, he will never stop looking after me. He will never stop caring for me. He will never give up on me. He's always concerned about me. And my goodness, I tell you, he had reason to give up on me over the last year. And I tell you that, and I'll be very honest with you. He had many reasons to give up on me. And God help you guys that I'm not God. God help that. Thank God he's not human like us. Because we give up on each other, don't we? And we give up on ourselves. But you see, that's not the way God deals with us. He has made promises, and my salvation is in his promise. That the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me of all unrighteousness. That all my sin is forgiven me. That I have now a new nature. That the old is gone, behold, there's a new thing. And I am no longer the old Eddie, I'm born again. The old is gone, crucified with Jesus Christ. See the promise? See what God has done for me? He has given me his son. And now I rely on his son. And I rely on the promises. And the promises are yes and amen in God. That I have all that I need in according to his riches in Christ Jesus. So I'm standing on the promise. I'm standing on the fact that the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade. At your right hand, the sun will not harm you by day and the moon by night. Do you know what that speaks about if you look into that? It talks about your life. The sun by day is your youth. It's your young life. It's you growing up. It's when the sun is shining in your life, if you like. And when you're young, you make mistakes, don't you? Don't you? Oh, Jamie Mac, there's a lot of perfect people here. Jeepers, Mac, I'm preaching to a lot of perfect people. Okay, when Eddie was young, he made a lot of mistakes. Because in our youths, we're impetuous, aren't we? And we get it wrong, don't we? But God has a promise to you in the days that the sun is shining and that I will watch over you. Knowing that when you're young, you get it wrong. That you run after silly things. That you might go to the hills. But God says, while the sun is shining in your life, I watch over you. And God has a promise for your youth. And he has a promise for your young life. But also it says, by the moon at night. And that's talking about your later years. God still has a promise for you. He still says, I will watch over you. Especially when we're moving through the phases of our lives, that God is constantly has a promise for us. He's constantly working on our lives. He's constantly concerned. If you're reading that in the Hebrew about watching over you, and if you study that word, it's about concerned about you. It's not just looking at you. You know, when I'm watching over my kids, does anyone know when you're watching over your kids, you're thinking about them, aren't you? Aren't you? You know, when you have your kids, you can sit there watching them playing for ages, can't you? And especially if you're in a park or something like that, or if you're watching them playing with other kids, you just sit there and watch them, can't you? But you're not just watching them, are you? You're thinking about them. You're considering them. In some ways, you're planning about their lives. And in some ways, you're thinking, where are they going to be when they're young teenagers? I often took my daughter and I go, and I see I can see somebody to knock on the door. And I think that about her. I think, I wonder what she's going to look like when she's 13 or 14. And look, I think that about Luke now. What's going to look like when she's 21? And I consider them. I think about them. And I plan for them. And I make plans for them. And that's what that word means there. That in our youth, God is watching over us, planning our lives, looking after us like a father, thinking about what he has for us next, thinking about what season he's leading us into. Isn't that a beautiful thing? But then he's thinking about us in our older age and what he's going to have us do and where we're going to be seated and what plans he has for us to do when the kind of in the moonlight, if you like. But that's what David is talking about there. In the day of your life and in the night of your life. And it says, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And guys, this is the cup of salvation that I'm talking about this morning. That God has made a promise to us. That God has said, I will watch over you. And it's not conditional. And I really would love it if we get that this morning. It's not conditional. He is doing it out of his nature and out of his love for us. That he watches over our lives, both now and forevermore. And that forevermore is the promise that even when you're getting it wrong, even when things have been turned upside down, the promise is, the salvation is that God is there for you. He's close. He's right beside you. He's planning your every move. He'll wait for you. He'll bring you through the tough times. He's there to pick you back up again. See, I remember talking to a fella before, and we do this as humans, and I've done it. That we see God through our human eyes. And just say, for instance, that we're untrustworthy of human beings, we'd say. Just say, for instance, we were hurt by humans. Say, for instance, we were hurt by our mother, our father, or by whoever. Abused or whatever. And just say, for instance, that we were a nervous person. And just say, for instance, the cards that life dealt us weren't great. But then when we start to come down, we start to relate to God, we start to see God through them eyes. And we don't believe it. We don't believe what God is saying. And in some cases, the promise is left on the sea, and it's gone. And by the time you get to the crossroads down there, you don't remember because you don't believe in God. You don't believe that he could watch over you, even if he knows your past. That was my big battle when I became a Christian first, when people said, God, how could God love me? You don't know what I was up to. You don't know what I'd done. And I was arguing with a guy one time, a counselor. I said, God can't love me. How can God love me? God is only for people that are holy. Because that was my naive view. God is only for people that go to Mass every week and say a rosary. Because that was my naive view. And he was trying to convince me, no, God loves you. How could he love me? But just look at all the mistakes I made. And nobody loves you because of Jesus. So Jesus, what would Jesus want to do with me? And I just could not get it. Until the revelation dropped in my heart that God loves me unconditionally. He loved me. The revelation came through that yet you were a sinner, that he hung and died for you. So the council says that even when you were in the height of your sin, he was hanging on the cross for you. That's how much he loves you. How much more now that you're in him? Are we getting that? That God loves us. And I was talking to this guy, and he just kept arguing with me. He kept saying, no, I don't believe in them promises. I don't believe it's right. I make mistakes all the time. I'm sure later on today I'll make a mistake. And you're saying that God still loves me? I'm sure later on there's things that I've done on people and they haven't forgiven me. Are you saying that God loves me? There's things in my past that I've done that I haven't shared with anybody. There's secrets. Are you saying that God loves me? And I kept on saying, yeah, he does. Because it's beyond you. It's nothing to do with you. It's his will to love you. There's nothing we can add to it or take away from it. He loves us because of who he is. To the point where he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the promise of God. It's beyond me. And that's, I'm hoping that drops into your heart, that there's nothing you can do to that. And there's nothing you can stop him from loving you. You can't stop him. It doesn't matter. If you walk out that door and still with unbelief, he still loves you. If you go home and say that crazy preacher, that handsome dude that was preaching there this morning, he was telling lies. He was telling lies. How could God love me? He still loves you. He still cares for you. He still has a heart for you. He still has promises for you laid down in Holy Scripture. I will never stop looking after you. I will watch over you now and forevermore. I am there for you in eternity. The hope I have as a Christian, and I'll finish with this, when you're talking the cup of salvation, the hope I have as a Christian is because the forevermore there are they talking about, if you break that down into Hebrew, it's talking about an eternal promise. Are you with me? So we're in the present, we're in the past, we're in the present. Now we're going into eternal. So he says, I will watch over you both now and forevermore. There is an eternal promise that God has for us. And that eternal promise is in the work of Jesus Christ. That I have given my life to Christ and now I'm saved and set free, both now and forevermore. My hope in God is eternal. And when I die, and when this body gives up, I am going to be with him. How do we know that? Because of his promise. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. I know I'm saved because of the promise, because of Jesus Christ, because of what he's done. So I have to believe in that promise. I have to stand on it. I have to make a conscious decision that this is for me, that I own it, that it's belonged to me, that nothing can take this from me, that no one can pluck me out of his hand, that nothing can separate me from the love of God, that I am his and he is mine, that nothing can break this promise, that nothing that I do can break this promise, that I am saved and saved utterly. Hallelujah. That my God has saved me. Oh, what a wretch I was. But look at me now, I'm saved and set free. Despite me. There's nothing I can add or take away. I am set free. And even when I go through a year that I've gone through, you know what? God's promises are still there. He is still faithful. And He is still ready to pick me up. Hallelujah. If the worship team want to come back. Let's stand. And I don't know what song you want to do. Amazing Grace, yeah, we do that song. But what I want people to get this morning is the cup of salvation. Guys, let's stand. The cup of salvation is a promise that God has for us. And all we need to do is hang on to that promise and stand on it. Stand on the word of God. So, let's all pray this together. And let's all pray this as part of the church body, that we are grabbing onto the promises of God. And I don't care what humor you're in. I don't care if you've had a week from hell. I don't care. Well, I do care, sorry. But it doesn't matter. Because that has nothing to do with it. The reality is the word of God says I'm saved through Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ sets me free. And if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you are saved. And you become His. And that's all I need to know. And my salvation is secure in God. And so I stand in that promise. And that's what gets me through. But you know what the wrong thing to do is? Start bringing God into conditional things. I'm feeling good now. I'm a great Christian. But I've had a week from hell now and I don't know where God is. Can't do that. Because it's not in the Bible. It's not true. He says, I will watch over you all the time. Even when you're going through the weeks from hell, that He is there. I don't want to dismiss anybody's pain. But the reality is, when we're in pain, I do this because we push God away. But it's, God says, you can't push me away. He says, you can't push me away in your life. I'm still there. Even if you try to, I'm still there. Because I love you. And my promise is that I will never stop looking after you. So, Father, Lord, would we grab that this morning? Would we just see, Lord, your heart for us? Father, would we stop looking at you through our brokenness and start looking at you through your promises, which says yes and amen, which says that I will always look after you, which says that I will never stop, which says that I will never leave you nor forsake, which says that you are saved, which says that you are written, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I will stop looking to the hills, Lord, and I will look to the God who created heaven and earth. Father, would you help us to see you like that? And would we relate to you like that? Even in the times of trials, would we point to you and know that you never leave us, Father God? Would there be healing there, Lord Jesus? Would there be breakthrough? I wonder if we could lift up our hands. I wonder if you could lift up your hand and say, Father, I come to you, Lord, and I stand on your promises, which says that you love me and you will never leave me, and you will watch over me both now and forevermore. So, Father, I stand on that. Despite me, I worship you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. If you want prayer, come up. But let's worship God. Let's thank Him. Let's give Him the glory. Amen.